Link Ray with Lillian One.
Jetpacks for sale.
And you're listening to Freeform Radio, 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Mass.
Till the day.
It's 12 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on Sunday, Father's Day, June the 19th, 2016. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Touch Free Farm Radio. We're also on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com radio and YouTube. You can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in some sports conversation. And to do that, you have to give me a call, 617-627-3800, 617-627-3800. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, certainly love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your area of the sporting world. That number again, 617-627-3800, 617-627-3800. I'll be back. Okay, just like I promised, I'm back, and here are Major League Baseball scores. In the American League yesterday, the Yankees 6 and the Twins 4. The Orioles 4 and the Blue Jays 2. The Red Sox 6 and the Mariners 2. Angels 7 and the A's 1. Cleveland 13 and the White Sox 2. The Royals 16 and the Tigers 5. In the National League, the Diamondbacks 4 and the Phillies 1. The Marlins 9. The Marlins 9 and the Rockies 6. The Cubs 4 and the Pirates 3. The Braves 4 and the Mets 3. Dodgers 10 and the Brewers 6. Padres 7 and the Nationals 3. In an interleague play, the Astros 5 and the Reds 4. That game went 11 innings. Giants 6 and the Rays 4. And the Rangers 4 and the Cardinals 3. 4:17 here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 in the FM dial. I'm Donnelly Brown, another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you have to give me a call, 617-627-3800, 617-627-3800. In that Red Sox game yesterday, Mookie Betts went 2-for-4 with RBI. He's hitting .290 on the season. Dustin Pedroia went 0-for-4. He's hitting .303. Made some spectacular plays in the field, however. Bogart went 2-for-4. Scored a run. Got an RBI. Hitting .352 on the season. His hit, one of his hits was his ninth home run of the year. David Ortiz went 1-for-4. He's hitting .342. Hanley Ramirez went 2-for-4, scored 2 runs. He's hitting .273. Some spectacular running on the base pass as well for Hanley. Totally ignoring the third base coach on a pickoff play at second base that went into the outfield. Jackie Bradley Jr. went 1-for-3, scored a run, got an RBI with a walk. He's hitting .304. He hit his 12th home run of the year. Travis Shaw went 1-for-4. He's hitting .273. Young went 1-for-4. Scored a run. He's hitting .283. Christian Vasquez went 2-for-3. Scored a run with an RBI. He's hitting .219. Made an excellent hit and run play. And hopefully he's going to break out of his slump. Or maybe he's not in a slump. Maybe he's just going to get to a position where he's going to be a solid .250, .260 hitter. We'll take that just because of his ability to catch the ball. Rick Porcello went 6 innings, gave up 8 hits, 2 runs, both of them earned. Struck out 6. He has a 3.76 ERA on the season. Tozawa came in, pitched an inning, gave up 1 hit. He has a 3.04 ERA. Urihara came in the 8th. He pitched an inning, struck out 2. His ERA is now 3.86. And Kimbrel came in. Wasn't a save situation. But he pitched an inning. And his ERA is 2.05. Well, with the Orioles winning, they are 39-28 on the season. Boston is 38-29 on the season. One game behind. Toronto lost. And so they are 2 games back of the Jays. 39-32 is their record. The Yankees won, making them 33-35 on the season. And Tampa Bay Rays lost, making them 31-35, 7.5 games back. In the Central Division, Cleveland is in first place. There's another horse race out there. Cleveland's in first place. They are 37-30. Followed by Kansas City, Detroit, and Chicago. And they're all too close to call. Minnesota's bringing up the rear. Out west, Texas. The eyes of Texas are up. Upon you, and what did they do? They won yesterday, making them 44-25. Seattle lost, making them 36-32. They're 7.5 games back. And Houston, LA, and Oakland are way, way back. Okay, we don't need the music that loud. Okay, we're in the National League. The Nationals, they lost, making them 43-26, but they are way ahead of New York Mets, who also lost, making them 36-31, 5.5 games back, 6 games back, actually. Then there's Miami, Philadelphia, and Atlanta, way back for Atlanta. Philadelphia was up there for a while, but they've fallen, and they can't get up. In Central Division, Chicago Cubbies, they won their 46-20. St. Louis won. They are 36-31, but they are 10, count them, 10 and a half games back, followed by Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, and Cincinnati. Out west, San Francisco Giants, they're starting to pull away. And to be truthful, when I saw the Red Sox against the Giants, Bumgarner pitched an excellent game. But other than that, they didn't look that great to me. And Posey didn't play that game, but in, they got their other out. Hunter Spence is out with injury. But they still didn't look that great to me. But they are winning handily. The L.A. Dodgers are 7 games back. And Colorado, Arizona, and San Diego are bringing up the rear. Since I haven't seen Chicago Cubs play in person, just seen excerpts, highlights, I guess you could say, of some of their games, I can't say that the Cubs are the best team. Right now, they're the best team in their division and maybe the best team in the National League, but you know, we got some pretty good teams here in the American League, and that's why our record is not as great as theirs might be, because, you know, we're playing in a tougher division. We're Baltimore, Boston, Toronto, and maybe even New York. Contenders in Tampa Bay can upset you every once in a while with their pitching. Cleveland did not impress me early in the season when I saw the Red Sox play them, but they seem to be in a horse race again with Kansas City. Haven't seen them play this year as yet. The world champion Kansas City Royals. And Detroit, they got the hitting. I don't know how much pitching they have. However, Zimmerman and Verlander, you know, I guess, you know, top the pitching staff, and we'll see where they go from there. Chicago White Sox got some fairly good hitting. Sale is certainly a stopper. But I don't know about the rest of their pitching staff either. And our West haven't seen any of looking at Seattle. Here again, you know, I'm not overly impressed, but their pitching may be a lot better than imagine, because they've got a fairly good hitting lineup. A lot of 270 hitters, you know, hitting for actually, I was surprised to hear that the Seattle Mariners are leading the major leagues in home runs. So there you go. You know, we figure with teams with Baltimore, like Baltimore and Toronto, and even the Red Sox would be up there. But they're up there, but Seattle is leading the league. So, there you go. How far can hitting take you? we can only time will tell. Over in the National League, haven't seen a lot of National League teams, so I can't really give you expert opinion. But Washington seems to be the class of the East. Chicago's is definitely the class of the Central. St. Louis is starting to exert themselves and move into second place. Pittsburgh, I don't think they have enough. Out west, like I said, the Giants do not impress me, but they seem to be beating up on everybody. And the Dodgers, who spent all that money and have all those names, you know, aren't seeming to be making it as yet. You know, here again, they've got Kershaw, but they lost Greinke, and maybe that's hurt. Probably has hurt. But anyway, it's 4:25 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial or on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. On the Sunday, Father's Day edition, June the 19th, 2016, of Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in the conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call, 617-627-3800, 617-627-3800. I'll be back.
crazy. My palms sweat, and the vibrations become intense.
Katie Jensen is under the influence of Tom, her volunteer drum teacher.
Oh, that sounds great, Katie.
Spending one afternoon a month with neighborhood kids like Katie, Tom helps them stay away from drugs. Share a skill, a passion, a hobby with kids in your community, and you can make a big difference. That's because kids who enjoy a regular positive activity with an adult are less likely to begin using drugs or alcohol. Be a coach, a mentor, a volunteer. No matter what it is, you have something to offer.
All right, Katie, you rock.
Log on to helpyourcommunity.org or call 877-KIDS-313 and be an influence on the kids in your community. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
And also by your friends here at WMFO. Go, Katie. Here brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sons of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:31 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. And let's stay with Major League Baseball, especially the Red Sox. As you know, the big situation here in Boston is the fact that our pitching staff has not been that great all year. And the hitters have covered up a lot of sins, I guess, for the pitching staff. But when the hitters aren't hitting, then the pitching looks like, you know, okay, it gets exposed. Anyway, I am not as down on the Red Sox pitching staff as everybody else in the media seems to be. I think the glass is at least half full. Okay, we've been getting some, you know, good outings recently from David Price. He hasn't gotten any hits in the hitting support in his last three games. Porcello has been the steady rock of the pitching staff. Well, his record, I guess, is what, 8-2 now. Wright has been the rock of the pitching staff. he had some early losses where he didn't get any run support either. But overall, no one expected 8 wins from him at this stage of the season. And it seems like his knuckleball is dancing all over the place. And not only is, does he have Dick Wakefield as a tutor, but he can get up there about 90 miles an hour with his fastball. So with a curveball you can't just sit hoping that you're going to get a fluttering ball that you can hit somewhere. But the team seems to hit behind him as well. Why behind him and not Price, I don't know. It's just one. Maybe they're trying too hard to hit well behind Price. I don't know what the reason is. But anyway, they've got those three. Now, Eduardo Rodriguez is still, I think, mentally suffering from the fact that he had that bad injury to his knee, and it's just not out of his head. And so, therefore, he's not yet where you want him to be, but he has the potential. He hasn't lost it. And how long is it going to take him to break out of the funk? I don't know. But, you know, there you go. excuse me. And then there's Buchholz. He's going back into the rotation. And he's in some kind of a funk also, because he hasn't been pitching the way we know that he can pitch over the past couple of years. A couple of previous years have been injuries. Now it's just the fact that he's, you know, not injured, but he still hasn't been doing it on a regular basis. And we have Kelly down in the minors, who is recovering, I guess, from a groin injury. But I think that back after the he should be back by the All-Star break, if not sometime afterwards. And by that time, having some work, you know, in that, we're going to have, you know, six, you know, fairly good starting pitchers. And I don't think we need more than that. And since Buchholz has done some work in the bullpen and has looked effective, and Kelly has probably got the best arm out of all of those, he might be a candidate for the bullpen as well. He could probably be a candidate for a closer, and certainly take some of the pressure off of Tozawa and Uehara in the seventh and eighth innings. Bobby Ross Jr. has been, you know, pitching fairly well. Hembree's been up and down as far as being the odd man out, as far as going back to the minors, because he has options. Hey, I don't think our pitching is that bad, and I certainly would not mortgage the future by giving up, one of our key minor league players who's developing. Benintendi got off to a bad start, or a tough start, I guess you could say, when he moved up to Portland from Double A. But he's sitting close to 250, I believe, at this point in time. And it seems like his average is on the rise. And so he was in the 100s at one point in time. I think he's got three home runs or four home runs. I don't know if Moncada is that far advanced as Benintendi is. Benintendi played college ball. And Moncada is still, 19, 20, 21, somewhere around there. While Benintendi's, I think, about 23. So, I wouldn't rush Moncada, and I certainly wouldn't give him away. Just physically, he looks like a young A-Rod. And the fact that he can steal bases obviously says that he's an athlete. He's going to develop. So, let him do his thing. I think he's only hitting a little under 300 in Class A, with not a whole lot of power, but hey, he's still developing. So, I would not panic. I certainly wouldn't sell the farm for just any old pitcher just to get another arm out there. It's 4:37 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, Father's Day, June 19th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, just have to give me a call, 617-627-3800, 617-627-3800, just about anything and everything is fair game. Far the world of sports is concerned, certainly love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. 617-627-3800, 617-627-3800. I'll be back.
Hey, this is Kate Pearson from the B-52s for Red. Getting drunk is your own business, but when you drive drunk, you make it everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be responsible, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
Public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
And also by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sport. 441 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnie Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you have to give me a call, 617-627-3800. Okay, the Cavaliers and the Warriors go up against each other again tonight, Game 7. I picked the Cavaliers at the beginning of the series primarily because the Warriors were coming off that tough series with the Thunder, which went 7 games, while the Cavaliers were back home resting. Warriors jumped out to a 3-1 lead and looked like they were, you know, heading home with another title, but a strange thing happened. And now the series is tied at 3 games apiece. And so it's just a wait and see, I guess. But I think LeBron is on a tear. I think he has a lot to prove. And so far, no one on the Warriors have been able to stop him defensively. And if Kyrie Irving continues to play as well as he has played, I think the two of them are able to carry the rest of the guys over the over the finish line. And if Kevin Love ever decides that, I'm about to play well for all this money I'm getting paid, that they will be unstoppable trio. Andre Iguodala has been hurt, back problems, I think. I haven't heard an update whether he's going to be able to go. Draymond Green has been playing on eggshells since all of the suspensions and whatnot. But hey, this is Game 7, baby. You got to kick those legs and fling those arms and flop and do whatever it takes. obviously, Steph Curry has not been the Steph Curry of old, and Klay Thompson's been playing fairly well. Harrison Barnes. Wherever you are, Ben, I'm not talking about you. Harrison Barnes has been a no-show the last 2 games, and obviously he's going to play a little better. I look for a good game. I think this is going to be the few games that was not lopsided going into the final period or whatever. So I think it's going to be a close game all the way. I look for the Cavaliers, LeBron, to take them on his shoulders and carry them across the finish line. That's my projection. That's my prediction. That's my whatever. Like I said, I picked them at the beginning of the series. So therefore, hey, I'm not going to stray away from that. Now, where does LeBron fit with all of the other major top players? Like I said, I'm a Bill Russell fan. Like I said, all the championships he's won, 11 championships in 13 years, 2 NCAA titles and an Olympic title when Olympics were simply played by amateurs. Not taking anything away from the Dream Team guys and whatnot, but everybody knows that basketball is an American sport, right? And people coming on afterwards are still trying to catch up as far as countries are concerned. But anyway, okay, Bill Russell, Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's my top 3. Magic Johnson, I guess you got to throw in there. That's four. And LeBron, number five. I don't have any problem with that. Kobe and Shaq. Somewhere in there. Karl Malone. Larry Bird. Dr. J. How about Allen Iverson? I was saying that the best shooter I've seen in the NBA since Steph Curry was probably Miller, but I forgot about Iverson. You know, and here again, you know, this is off the top of my head without really thinking, and you got to put Kevin McHale in there somewhere. Yeah, you know, it's, you know, but like I said, LeBron's up there somewhere. Okay, that's anybody's opinion, I guess. Everybody has their own opinion, so therefore we'll just leave it at that. 447 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial. On the internet, www.wmfo.org, multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. On this Sunday, Father's Day edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, June the 19th, 2016. And you're listening to A Brown Perspective on Sports. And we'll be back shortly.
Honor. The CD is more than just a compilation of music. It's a musical prayer in honor of the earth.
Hi, I'm Emily.
And I'm Amy.
We're the Indigo Girls, and we're proud to join our friends who performed on the Honor CD. Toad the Wet Sprocket, Soul Asylum, Jane Sibbery, John Trudell, Ula Lee, Bonnie Raitt, and countless others who helped us out on this very important project.
This is powerful and brave music with a message that will inspire you.
The original peoples of these lands have stood in honor of the earth, just as their ancestors have done for generations. and we are proud to be able to stand with them, and we hope you will too.
Join the Honor the Earth campaign. Call 1-800-EARTH-07 or check us out on the World Wide Web at honorearth.com.
Thank you so much.
And this is brought to you by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:51 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. Let me give kudos out to the Pittsburgh Penguins on their NHL championship. I had them, picked them going into the playoffs as the team to win it all, and they proved me to be correct. In the U.S. Open, it's probably going to go into Monday before they come up with a winner. But Shane Lowry is 5-under at this point in time. Andy Landry is 3-under. Lee Westwood is 2-under. Sergio Garcia is 2-under. Dustin Johnson is 2-under. And Brandon Grace is 1-under par in the U.S. Open. And all the big names, Spieth and McIlroy and all the others, seem to have fallen by the wayside. Anyway, we'll see who wins that one. I said last week, after looking over everything and coming up with my final opinion, the Celtics need to look at the health of the Joel Embiid and Okafor, and then I would trade as many draft picks as it takes to pry those two people away from Philadelphia. Philadelphia is obviously trying to rid themselves of some of their big front court people, trying to supposedly trade Nerlens Noel to Atlanta, or offering him to Atlanta. I don't know how far that's going to go. But I figure if the Celtics go with Dragan Bender, who's like a 7'1 and only 18 years old, it's going to be 3 or 4 years before he becomes the potential player that they hoped he can be. On the Celtics with Embiid and Okafor, you've got a two-headed monster. Neither of them can probably play the outside, the stretch four, but you don't have to worry about that, because we're going to have the shooters anyway if Olynyk comes back. Sellinger, he may be someone that we might let go, provided if he gets an offer that we don't want to match. I would sign Evan Turner. Yeah, I'll try to sign Evan Turner. Supposedly the New York Knicks are going to throw the house at him. But would he want to go to a team that's obviously not going anywhere and go into the same situation that he found himself in Philadelphia, where he was looked on as to be the man? And since he seems to thrive in a situation where he's not the man, then I would, I think if I was here, I would take what the Celtics are going to offer him. It's going to certainly be a bump in pay, and he's going to be closer to a championship with the Celtics than he will be in a better team and coach and everything else than he would be in New York. But hey, sometimes money talks and the duck squawks, and so we'll see what happens there. Now, if the Celtics are not interested in making progress beyond where they were the past 2 years, then you could go with a Dragan Bender and hope and pray that he's going to be able to be productive. As far as shooting is concerned, I'm not that concerned. Like I said, in the playoffs, we had Jay Crowder playing, and he obviously was not completely well from his high ankle sprain that he had. And he couldn't defend, he couldn't play. He can shoot, rather, as we thought that he could. Amir Johnson, like I said, he may be expendable if we can get Embiid and Okafor. And like I said, if they're healthy, They're both going to be able to start at the beginning of the season and go. And here again, you're taking some of the pressure off Embiid and his bad feet, because he won't be playing 48 minutes, playing something like 24 with Okafor out there as well. Like I said, and the rebounding would improve with those two. And Sellinger, who, you know, is not a bad player, but it's not a rim protector or anything else that we're looking for. I could see him, you know. The rest of the ball club, hey, I think we got Hunter, who's going to be a shooter. We got Young, who's still developing. He can be a shooter. And so, therefore, Avery Bradley, like I said, he went down in game two of the playoffs. So, therefore, we lost that offense as well. Olynyk did not play. I'm not that concerned. Now, are we going to be in Cleveland's territory? Are we going to be in Oakland's territory, you know, category as far as improving this coming year, no matter who we get? unless Kevin Durant decides, okay, I like Boston now that they've got these big guys and the rest of the players and whatnot, and he comes over here. If everybody thinks it's a done deal, he's going to re-sign with Oklahoma because of the fact they played so well against the Golden State Warriors, but they didn't have enough to get over the hump, and I still don't think they would have beaten Cleveland either. I don't think it's a long shot. I don't think it's a certainty, such a long shot, that he might come to Boston if Boston improves upon what we already have. So, therefore, I think that the cup is more than half full. And like I said, since Philadelphia obviously wants to trade some of their big men, and they're going to have the number one pick, I would think that Embiid and Okafor, we could pry both of them loose. And it would be upgrade. We would probably be the second best team in the East behind Cleveland. Okay, 4:58 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial. On the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And it's time to put the wraps on this edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Be back here next Sunday, Lord willing, with another edition at 4 a.m. or thereabouts. So give us a call, 617-627-3800. Stay tuned. Father's Day edition, The Sounds of Praise, is coming your way very shortly, and you don't want to miss it. It's entitled Great Spiritual Fathers of Gospel Music. So, till next Sunday, God bless.